All right. Hey, well, today we're in week three of our summer message series on the parables of Jesus. And I love the parables of Jesus. It's one of the things that, first of all, if you don't know what a parable is, parables are simply big stories that Jesus would tell to uncover even bigger truths about God and faith and the kingdom of God. And one of the things that I love about the parables is that Jesus, stories have a way of being multifaceted. When I was younger, I heard a lot of these parables. I grew up growing to church, and I grew up kind of around some of the stories that Jesus told, and I understood them as a child. I mean, that's what's fascinating and brilliant about Jesus' teaching. And then when you get a little bit older, you start realizing, wow, these parables actually have other, not other meanings, but wow, they're multi-layered. Like, you can see yourself in these parables. You can see yourself in the story. And Jesus can use them in a certain season in your life to speak something over you in a way that doesn't feel offensive, but it feels like it's one of those things where you're open to receiving what Jesus wants to say through the story. And so through this summer, we're going through many of the parables of Jesus to see how Jesus wants to speak to us today. Before we jump into our parable for today, let me ask you a question to set it up. How many of you would say that you are pretty good at gardening, or you're pretty good at planting something? How many of you would say, yeah, I'm pretty good at growing something, right? All right, we're in the suburbs. Yeah, it's okay. You know, we're not comparing you to Farmer Joe here, you know? This is like, can you grow something, you know? Here's the thing. If you, I realize we're in the suburbs, and a lot of us don't have that experience. However, if you look at my family, if you look at my grandmothers, you would think that farming or gardening or planting something runs in the family. In fact, my grandmothers on both sides, they're both in their 90s, and they are still healthy and ticking. And, you know, it's one of my grandmothers was mowing her grass until like last year. So crazy. But anyway, my grandmother on my mom's side, she grew up in Johnson City, Tennessee, and in really around farming, So she knew about planting and growing things in a big capacity kind of way. But I remember my grandmother on my mom's side in Johnson City, little property. There's a fence line, and she always had this little garden where she grew her own tomatoes and peppers and all sorts of things. And we didn't eat, when we would go to Mamaw's house, we didn't eat, you know, the kind of food that comes from a can, right? You know, the song Rocky Top, you know, it talks about getting your corn from a jar because it's so rocky, right? That's not the case. It's near the mountains. But man, my Mamaw, she made her, you know, she grew her own stuff, and she would basically, everything was fresh. She'd make her own food that way. And anyway, so good. On my other side, my other grandmother lives more in the city, in Knoxville, Tennessee, but she's always had a pretty big garden, more like flowers and other things like that. They've always been good at it. On the other, at the same time, my uncle on my dad's side lived up the street from her and passed away just about a year ago, but he was such a talented rose gardener that he would actually win awards for the roses in his yard. This was not a small garden. It was pretty much his entire property was filled with the most elaborate roses, some of the most rare roses you can get anywhere. And I remember one time I took Mandy, when we were dating, over to his house just to show her, because it's awesome. It's like going to the botanical gardens, you know? And so I took her over there, and he never gave out roses to anybody, not even family. But on that day, he cut off like three or four of his precious roses, and he gave them to Mandy. And I knew she had to be the one, you know? That was the sign. But anyway, it's one of those things. So you would think that farming and growing and gardening, it grows in the family. But the problem is, I don't have a green thumb. I have whatever the opposite of a green thumb is, a black foot thumb or whatever, right? I have the gift of killing things, amen? I'm really good at killing things. In fact, when Mandy and I moved into our house that was owned by the church, called a parsonage, we moved into our house in Griffin, Georgia to start full-time ministry. We had like a little kind of garden, flower garden area at our house. And so people from the church, they knew where the house was. They started bringing us all sorts of food when we moved in. They brought us all sorts of plants. And I knew immediately what was going to happen when they brought us the plants, you know? And so I told them, oh, we're probably going to kill this. We're so sorry ahead of time. And they said, oh, it's so easy. All you've got to do is water it. All you've got to do is water it. And so we did. I did. The problem was, I don't know if I didn't give it enough water or if I drowned that baby, you know, with so much water that it couldn't stand it. But sure enough, the easy to care for healthy plants that were already ready, already planted healthy, they were suddenly dead after a few days. And it's one of those things where it's not really my fault, because living in the suburbs, my only experience of growing plants or any kind of farming is that I know the jingle to farmersonly.com, right? Okay, maybe you know that. You don't have to be lonely at farmersonly.com. Yeah, and then they always say, city folks just don't get it. And I always say under my breath, you're right. I don't get it, right? I don't get it. Anyway, I tell you that story because today we are going to be looking at one of the most famous parables Jesus told, the parable of the sower, a parable of the sower and the seed. And before we read it, you got to understand that Jesus is speaking into a different culture than our culture here in the suburbs north of Atlanta. He's speaking into a culture that actually knew something about farming. In fact, they grew up around it. They saw it all the time. In fact, it was a farming culture where everybody knew about planting seeds. And so Jesus is taking something that was common to them, to his audience, right? Brilliant teacher. He's taking a common kind of metaphor that they all understood, and he's using it to talk about a bigger idea about sharing the gospel and how the gospel spreads to different people. And I want you to check out what he says in the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 3. Here's what it says. It says, then he, that's Jesus, told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. The other seed fell along thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And so Jesus is telling this to a group, this crowd of people, and the disciples were there. And this is that moment, if you're hearing this parable for the first time, this is that moment where the crowd kind of shakes their head like they get it, right? But they're like, huh? You know, what? You know, this is an imagery that they would have seen. Oh, and then he says this famous phrase that he said over and over. He says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever has ears, let them hear. In other words, some translations say, hey, whoever heard this, may you understand it. May you understand it. And so he's talking about a common thing that everybody would have known. Everybody would have seen. Yeah, of course. When seeds hit different types of soil, different types of soil produce different kinds of ways. Sometimes it grows, sometimes it grows for a short time, sometimes it doesn't. And so let me kind of clear this parable up, because growing up, I read this parable and I didn't understand farming stuff, and so I didn't understand it really well. But let me just clear some of this up. The sower in this passage, the sower, when he's talking about the sower, he's saying, obviously, God is the great sower, but what he's saying is, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a sower. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a sower, or you're a planter, you're a gardener, to use that kind of language. And because Jesus is living in your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you have been given seeds. What are the seeds? The seeds are the gospel. You've been given the gospel. It's been placed in your hands. You walk around with it everywhere you go because it's who you are if you're a follower of Jesus. And as you go out into the community, as you go out into the world and your spheres of influence, what Jesus is saying is, I want you to take that seed of the gospel, and I want you to share that, and I want you to sow that into the lives of people. I want you to share that, and I want you to sow that into the lives of people all around you. How do we do that? How do we share, how do we sow the gospel into people's lives? Well, we do it three ways. We do it by We do it by our words, you know? Sometimes we tell people about Jesus. So we do it the second way by our actions, right? Let your light shine before people that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven, as Jesus said. In other words, hey, go out and shine the light of Jesus where you are so people see Jesus in you. That's the second way. The third way is we do it by faith, right? We share the gospel by faith, trusting that as we share, that God is actually going to do something. That as we share, that God is going to be up to something under the surface, under the soil of somebody's life, and he's going to produce something out of what we do. God will take the little bit of what we share and what we show, and God will produce and grow something in somebody's life. And so here's the thing. Jesus starts this parable off. He's basically saying, look, wherever you are, I want you, you are called to live out the gospel. You're called to share the gospel everywhere you go. And he starts it off in verse 3 really simply. He says it like this. A farmer went out to sow seed. Everybody's like, yeah, that happens every day. My dad did that today. And I want you to get this picture because we don't really, at least I didn't know the picture of what is that like to go sow seed. It's picture almost like a, remember the old mail bags that people, that mailmen used to have where it's almost like this sash and they would pull mail out of it. I want you to get this picture of it's this bag with seed in it. And what would happen is in Palestine, this was a very common image where in Jesus' culture, the sower would go out with this bag, and a sower or a planter or a gardener would go out and would scatter seed just all over the place. They would just scatter seed. They weren't like farmers today. Farmers today kind of have, you know, they have GPS on their tractors. Did y'all know that? They have GPS on their tractors. It is so precise. They know exactly the right place to plant. In fact, maybe you've been to a corn, how many of you have been to a corn maze before? You ever been to a corn maze? Man, those are so fun. And you know that they didn't just do that, you know, on the ground. They put all the stuff in the GPS to know exactly where to put those rows of corn, right? And it's so precise where you're supposed to plant seeds. Not so in Jesus's day. In fact, everybody knew in that culture that a farmer would actually take seed and would just kind of start scattering seed everywhere, right? Here's some seed, here's some seed, here's some seed. And you would think, for us today, you would think, that doesn't seem like good stewardship. Like, why take the seed and start throwing around places that it's never going to grow or you don't think it will? Like, that seems like a bad idea. Let's talk about it in terms of money. You do this all the time. You don't want to invest your money into things that aren't going to give you a good ROI, a return on investment, right? You want to invest in something that's going to actually do something, right? That's going to have a good return on investment. But Jesus is saying, that's not the way I want it to work. In this story, what he's saying is, look, I want you to live out the gospel with such reckless abandonment. I want you to live out the gospel where you're sowing seeds of God's love into people's life everywhere you go, like a farmer goes and sows seed everywhere, right? I want you to be doing this by the way you show people, by the way you share people. This is what Jesus is saying. And Jesus says, as you do that, I want you to share God's love so indiscriminately. And notice this with the different types of soil. It's almost like he's saying, and probably when you do that, maybe even 75% of your efforts will be wasted. 75% of your efforts won't grow anything. Well, that's not good news, right? That seems like bad news. The good news is, what Jesus is saying is the 25% that does take root, the 25% that does take root will grow faith into people's lives and will produce something more in them than you could ever imagine in your entire life. That's the good news. And so I think this is a great reminder for us as a church. It's a great reminder for our mission here at the Fountain, because God has called us to reach this community and this area to people all throughout this area with the love of Jesus. God has called us to connect people, to stand in the gap of people who are not yet connected to a local church, who have maybe said peace out to the church, or maybe have never been before. In fact, by the way, on Easter Sunday, Easter Sunday last year, there was somebody. And there was somebody who came that said, I have never stepped in the doors of a church before. And they said, oh, wait, no, I've been to a wedding one time. And they said, no, that was actually outside at a park. They're like, yep, this is my first time ever at church, right? Isn't that cool? That stuff is happening, right? And God has called us to stand in the gap of people who are so far away from the church, who think that they're so far away from God, and as everybody gets connected here, to grow everybody closer and closer to Jesus, to become who God wants them to be. That's God. That's what God wants us to do. But the truth is, not everything we do will produce fruit 100% of the time in every single person. That's kind of like, maybe that takes the pressure off a little bit. Not everything we do will produce 100% fruit in every person's life. See, sometimes what Jesus is, sometimes it's like this. We start sowing seeds in the community. We start sowing seeds by serving. Let's say we start sowing seeds by we serve in an event here at Johns Creek or Lambert High School, or we do a camp for kids, 300 kids plus, that's going to be coming up this month, Extreme Games. Or let's say you invite somebody to church and you've been inviting them and you keep inviting them. Or maybe you share your faith with somebody. Maybe you serve with our kids and our teenagers in our kids or student ministry. Maybe you're leading a refresh group. Let's say we're sowing seeds into people's lives. It's a reminder that you won't always see the fruit of your effort. You won't always see the fruit or the growth, especially immediately. But what God is focused on is what God can grow something, those seeds that we're putting in people's lives. God can actually take it and can grow something in them over time. But it's a reminder that sometimes we will sow seeds, and the seed is good, and the message is good, talking about as we share our faith, but sometimes people don't budge. And what Jesus is saying is, seems to say, that's okay. Your job is to not focus on the results. Your job is to keep sowing. It's almost like your Heavenly Father. Think about our Heavenly Father and God's relationship with the world, with people. God loves the world, scatters seeds all over the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He has offered his love to every single person. But in the same way, not everybody responds. Jesus is giving us this illustration because it's the reality of what happens. We want everybody to respond to the gospel. But the point Jesus is making is this: our job, your job, my job is to just keep sowing, keep sowing, keep sowing, and trust that God will grow something in people's lives, that God will find that good soil that will produce beyond what you can imagine. And so here's the bottom line I want to share with you today, and it's this: that you can't always tell where a seed of faith will take root in someone's life. You can't always tell. So just keep sowing. Let me say that again. You can't always tell where a seed of faith will take root in someone's life. So just keep sowing. Just keep sharing. Just keep loving and keep pointing people to Jesus, because God will produce something under the surface of somebody's life, sometimes in ways and in places that you never expected. It's funny because I remember there's been several times when I remember when I was in Kentucky doing ministry. And there were some times where I would go and serve at a homeless shelter, or I would preach a sermon somewhere, and I would look, and there would be this place and this person that I would say, man, that person's not paying attention. That person is not going, like, I'm here, and I hope this impacts these people, but that person over there, it's very clear they're never going to respond to this. And in that moment, you know, everybody kind of leaves. And there's been several times when that one person that I in my head counted out, that they'll come up and they'll say something like this: that was the most helpful thing somebody's ever told me. How do I follow Jesus? Can you help me to follow Jesus? And in that moment, it's one of those things, like, I was not even going to plant there, you know? Like, if it was up to me, I would not have even scattered seeds there, and yet God was actually, under the veil of what I could see, it was actually good soil of what God was preparing to do in somebody's life. In fact, sometimes I think we get really stingy in our life and we pre-qualify where we scatter seed, you know? And we kind of say, well, I'm never going to share the gospel, or I'm never going to show that I'm a Christian to that guy or to that girl or to that person in my sphere of influence, that person in my school, that person who has a different political view than me, that person that has a different color of skin than me. I'm never going to share the gospel with that person. And it's those times where it's like I'm deciding that I'm not going to plant there. When there might be something going on in that guy's life that you've counted out, that just a simple thing that you say about Jesus might, that person might cling on to it in ways that you never expected. And so what Jesus is saying is this, is sow everywhere, share everywhere, and leave the results to God. Let God produce the impact. Let God find the good soil and make it grow. And so the parable really has two messages. The first is to encourage us as sowers, that it's not our job to determine the results. It's our job to keep sowing, to keep sharing, to keep pointing people to Jesus, and let God bring the increase. But it's also, this parable also has a second message. And it's a message that I think all of us can relate to right now as we look at our own life, our own spiritual condition of our life. And it's really with these four types of soil, the four types of environment that something can grow. I want you to check out these four types of soil. And as we do that, I want you to ask yourself, what soil type am I? Out of these four soil types, which soil am I right now? And so let's go ahead and read about it. Jesus explains the parable, thank God, to the disciples. He explains it to them. And here's what he says in verse 18. He says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one," or Satan basically, "comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path." And so the first soil type that Jesus is saying that we sometimes encounter in the world, number one is this, the hardened soil. Sometimes the gospel is spread in places and to people, and it falls along hardened soil. In fact, in Israel and in Palestine today, there are a lot of dirt kind of roads, and one of the things you'll find is there's certain pathways that people have walked on and trampled on so much back and forth that the soil is so hard, it's like concrete, you know? And this is the image that everybody would have understood as Jesus was telling this. A seed can't even pierce the ground. And I would imagine that you probably know somebody in your life who is hard as a rock in their heart when it comes to God. Maybe you know somebody like that who is hard as a rock when it comes to God. In fact, you probably know somebody in your life who has maybe been hurt by someone, by something. Maybe they've been hurt by the church where somebody said something. By the way, the church is, we always say, this is a perfect place where imperfect people can encounter a perfect Savior. You're never going to encounter a perfect church and perfect people in a church. They don't exist. But what we are is imperfect people trying to follow and point our lives toward a perfect Savior who has died on the cross for us, who has made us worthy because of what he's done in our lives. Amen? And so here's the thing. Sometimes people get hurt, though. They get calloused by something that's happened to them. And maybe you know somebody who's just become so cynical about God and cynical about everything that they've kind of decided in their life, I'm just never going to believe. Not even about God, but I'm just not going to believe in anything. Like, I'm not going to connect emotionally, right? They might be high-functioning, but they don't want to let anybody in, including God or others. And so they just don't want to get hurt. So it's this hardened soil. And sometimes sometimes we sow seed into people's lives, but when people are so closed off and so hardened to the gospel, Jesus says it can't take root. It can't take root. This is the hardened soil. And so these are the people who hear God's word. Maybe they come on Christmas to church and come on Easter because somebody dragged them and promised them food, you know? They hear God's word, but they don't ever understand it or they're not open to it. And Jesus, what he's saying here is when we share the gospel in love, in hard soil, right? In people who have hard hearts toward God, what happens is it's low-hanging fruit for Satan. He comes and snatches that away, right? Distracts and snatches it away so that it never can take root in somebody's life. It's hard soil. Let me give you a couple examples in the Bible of hard soil. A couple of them think about Judas and Pilate. These are hard soil stories. These are guys with hard hearts toward God. It's interesting because they were both around Jesus. Judas followed Jesus. He was one of his 12 disciples for 3 years, followed Jesus. Pilate was the guy who was basically had the opportunity to set Jesus free right as he's been arrested. He had a chance to basically set Jesus free, and but instead he washes his hands of the responsibility, and both Judas, who turned Jesus in with a holy kiss, betrayed him, and Pilate, who never stood up and released Jesus, both of them with hard hearts were part of putting Jesus on the cross. That's the blood of Jesus is on their hands, you know, as well. And so one of the things, if you find yourself getting a hard heart, hard soil in your life toward God because of things that have happened to you, I understand that when bad things happen to us, it's hard, it's difficult, things happen. But I want to encourage you that you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay there. In fact, I want to encourage you to just begin asking God to soften your heart and open your life. Ask God's help to open your life so that you can experience his love and be open to that to come into your life. Here's the second type of soil that Jesus talks about. Number two, he talks about the shallow soil, or the soil that falls on rock. It's shallow. Here's what it says in verse 20 and 21 about the shallow soil. It says this. It says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And so in Palestine, there's a lot of limestone. And one of the things that you find is that there's limestone on the ground, and then oftentimes there's maybe an inch or less of dirt that covers the ground. And so a plant will actually grow up, but it can't ever get roots into the soil. There's not enough soil there. And so it'll just kind of die off because it's too shallow. It's not deep enough. And I think this is so interesting because I think this is talking about there are people who receive God's word with passion at first. I hope everybody receives God's word with passion, right? They receive it with passion. But then once difficulty comes, once hardship comes, they just kind of give up. They fall away because their faith never grew deep enough. They never had the roots to stand. You know, I worked at Chick-fil-A one summer when I was in seminary. I was trying to buy a ring, a wedding ring for somebody I know, and for my wife and everything. I'm not buying anybody else's wedding ring, okay? But anyway, I ran into this guy who was kind of that hard-hearted guy, that hard-hearted soil. But he started out in a place where he was the guy with shallow soil, where roots never took in. In fact, one of the things he told me is he told me early on, I'm an atheist. I was like, okay, you know, because he knew I was studying to be a pastor, and people throw stuff out at you all the time to just see what you say. And I kind of have a rule, like, just don't freak out, right? Don't freak out, right? You can pray for them, or you can get, you know, same rule if you're a parent. If your kids tell you something, it's a good rule. Just don't freak out. Put your head in the pillow, and you can scream there and pray for them, right? But they'll be open to telling you stuff if you don't freak out, right, at first. And so here's the thing. He told me, I'm an atheist, and you got to know, I used to follow Jesus. I used to be a Christian, but I went through a really difficult season in my life. A lot of bad stuff happened, and I really struggled to believe that God would allow something like that to happen. That if God really does exist, why did he allow something like that? It's the problem of evil, you know? And it's one of those things, it's like that's a whole sermon for another day, because a lot of times we assume that if anything bad has happened, since God is all loving and all powerful and in control, then God must have caused it. And the truth is, there's a lot of things going on in the world, right? God is sovereign, and at the same time, we have a spiritual enemy, and we live in a broken, fallen world waiting to be restored, and sometimes we're sinful, and we do dumb stuff, and bad things happen, right? There's all these things that are kind of swirling all at the same time, so it's not just God caused this. Sometimes we made a bad decision, right? And so here's the thing. But I think sometimes people are this happens, though, where people get like this because I think the church has done a bad job sharing the gospel sometimes. I think the church, in trying to get people in to experience the love of Jesus, sometimes we've taught a cotton candy, watered-down half-gospel to people. And it's one of those things where maybe people jump on it really quickly, but what happens is it doesn't produce roots. In fact, just go to the Christian bookstore And there's a lot of really, really interesting titles, these titles that say stuff like this, your best life now, or become a better you. Those sound really good, right? But it gives us this impression that the gospel is just about you. It is, God's love for you. But we get this impression that God exists to serve us. And then when you find out that Jesus has actually called us to serve him, the creator of the universe, people say, well, that's not what I signed up for, right? And they bail. And so on the other hand, sometimes we get this message where people have maybe taught, well, follow Jesus and all your problems will go away. Just follow Jesus, have more faith and your problems will disappear. And it's like, man, that is not the gospel that I read. Because a lot of the closest disciples of Jesus were hung on a cross, were killed for their faith, right? And so then when hardship comes, people start to say, well, that's not what I signed up for. That's not the gospel I believed in. See, Jesus never told us, follow me and I'll take away all your problems. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, no matter what trouble you face, I've overcome all of that. I've overcome sin. I've overcome death. This may be tough now, but take heart because I've won the battle in the end. And so Jesus is more concerned with building your character than leading you to comfort. You know, I mean, I hope you're comfortable at church and stuff like that, but God's primary purpose is not to lead you to comfort. In fact, God oftentimes sends you into uncomfortable situations in order to form you and grow you and to form your character into who he wants you to be. This is why we have to grow in our faith. We have to grow in our faith. In fact, sometimes I found that there's a lot of adults in America who are in churches who have settled for only swimming in the kiddie pool when it comes to their faith, you know? They kind of spend their whole life in the kiddie pool. Now, the kiddie pool is good if you're 3 years old, you know? And you got your swimmies on, and that's fine and cute when you're 3 years old, but tell you what, if you're an adult and you're in the kiddie pool with swimmies on, that's awkward, right? You go to the pool today, you'll have to tell that person, get in the big pool, you know? In a similar way, it's one of these things where a lot of times people get really excited about following Jesus, but they always stay at that infant stage in their faith. They never grow. And then once things get hard or once they find out, wow, the gospel costs me something, Jesus says, look, sometimes they bail. And it's one of those things where everybody loves the Jesus loves me part of the gospel, but sometimes we don't understand that following Jesus it also means that we're to offer our lives as a living sacrifice back to God because of what he's done for us. We don't exist for God to serve us. We exist to serve God and for him to flow in our lives and to love us and to show us who he wants us to be. And so, folks, I want to encourage you, don't keep swimming in the kiddie pool in your faith. God wants you to grow. Take the swimmies off. God wants you to grow. Grow roots that are deep so that when adversity comes, you'll be able to stand. You'll be glad you did. Here's the third soil type that we find. Number three is this. The soil, it's really good soil, but we'll call it the soil with the competitive thorns. With the competitive thorns. Here's what it says in verse 22. It says this. It says, the seed falling along the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. You know, these are people who grow in their faith, but they get distracted by so many other things in the world. And they let, maybe just ever so slightly, they start to put other things in the first place in their life instead of God. In my opinion, I think this is the number one reason that the church in America is declining. Because I think this is where most people would, in America, if you were to say, where are most people, soil types, I would say most people are in the competitive thorns. Most people are in that category where basically we love Jesus. Jesus is one of the best things in our life, but we love our career more. We love our hobbies more. We love that person more. We love those situations more, things on our schedule. And over time, other good things in our life, they start to compete. They start to compete. And when they start to take root as the first place in our life, that's when it gets choked out. I think this is a hard tension for me today. My son was playing in an all-star game, missing church for the first time since he's in his life, probably, except for being sick. He had an all-star game at 10:30, and they won, by the way. Yeah, so that's good. And so I get to see him two more times, hopefully, if they make it to the championship. But here's the thing. The point of this passage is not to say, cancel your schedule, only do church, only do Jesus stuff, right? The point is not that. The point is this: don't let the cares of this world and other things in this world choke out your faith. Don't let anything else in this world take first place over your relationship with Jesus. And so that brings us to the fourth soil type, the last soil type. It's this, number four, the good soil. The good soil. Here's what it says, verse 23, it says this, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Basically, these are people who cultivate their faith. They grow in their faith, and it bears tremendous fruit, more than you could ever imagine in your life. And oftentimes, it'll bear fruit in other people's lives. And you know, I want to be that fruit. I want to be that soil. I want to be the good soil, and I hope you do too. And I think here's the two lessons that we get from this passage. The first one is about how we share the gospel. It's the bottom line is this, is that you can't always tell where a seed of faith will take root in someone's life, so just keep sowing. Just keep sowing. The second message is this: God wants you to be that good soil. God wants you to be that good soil. Don't ever get hardened in your heart toward God. Don't let your faith get choked out by difficult things or by other cares in the world where we try to put something else first. Keep your life open to God and available to Him, and God will produce in you a harvest that's 30, 60, 100 times more than you could ever ask or imagine.